This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 546, brought to you by iFanboy listeners just like you. Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 546. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
You survived.
I mean, part of me did. I'm physically here.
You're physically here? The rest of you is still back at the docks looking for Pokemon?
I haven't listened. If you want to explain the joke to me, you can. No. But it really fucked up my Twitter feed. So
I'm looking. You can go back and listen. Okay. This week, Ron is not here. It's the summertime. This is what happens. Ron, as we discussed on last week's show, is actually literally off selling all of his comics right now. So we discussed last week how he was getting rid of his single issues, most of them. He's on a road trip, shedding his childhood.
Is that a warning sign that we should be concerned about?
Maybe.
Like, should we be talking about this offline?
Checking for track marks next time we see him?
God!
So, just the two jamokes this week.
I like to think that I'm the inappropriate one, but you just shot past me in a blaze of glory.
You never know with Ron. We are iFanboy. We like comics. Every created a bunch of comics. Jesus. One of us. I had a lot of comics. Did you have a lot of comics?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was a lot last week, and I haven't even finished those, and that's not cool.
We pick our favorite book. We call it the Pick of the Week. We'll talk about that book. Other books. We do some listener mail. We have some new fun stuff to do. We have a rating segment this week with another Rebirth ratings book. Lots of fun things going on this week, so let's jump right to it. The spoiler, here's your spoiler warning. It's a review show, so there'll be some spoilers, so watch your ass. Josh, you had to pick.
So the way that
Sorry, buddy.
The way that it works, is Jupiter's Legacy, Volume 2, Number 2. This is a bad naming convention right away. Just going to go ahead and get that out of the way. It's confusing. There's other series. Whatever.
Yep.
It's Mark Miller, who is I think we're at peak Mark Miller now.
Probably.
I mean, I think maybe commercially people would say, oh, you know, when the Ultimates. But for me personally, what I want out of a Mark Miller, like he is
peak creative. I think we're at peak creative Mark Miller.
Yeah. I mean, like he's like on the way to the third championship Michael Jordan at this point. All
right.
He's not
peak like early 2000s where he was the top selling guy.
Yes.
But it's peak the best stuff.
Yeah. Which for me is important. Okay. So you got that. And then you have Frank Quitely doing art. So right away, it was just a matter of something else had to beat it.
Right.
Is the way it went. And I'll be honest about that. We're going to have a question about – I think it's in this show. Doesn't matter. This is, if not like the first book I look forward to, like when I see it's coming out, that gets the biggest book I get excited about reading about. It's up there if it isn't. But – so going in that with that in mind, I get to the very first page, and the panel 4 is a shot of a cutaway of a building as the mom blasts through it and shoots the bad person out of the side of the building into the water, like all in one shot as they went through. And I was like, all right, well, you really have to screw up now. Because right away, I mean, Frank Quitely art now gets me like so happy. It's almost like the artistic equivalent of like if Alan Moore is releasing a new book that I want to read. That caveat was important there. And it just, from a storytelling and a style standpoint, if the story had nothing to do with this, I would still have liked it the best. I'm crazy for Quitely at this point. And there was a bunch of things in here, a bunch of really.
Well, before you move on, just really fast, it's too bad that Ron's on his road trip because he loves a cutout.
Oh.
He loves a cutout diagram of a building, and this one is a pretty spectacular one.
And it carries on that way. There's other cutouts in here.
Yeah.
Then there's a geometric diagram of the ocean cutaway on two pages from there with math, presumably.
Yeah, right. The formula for whatever they were doing, and I was like, that seems complicated.
It does, but they made it small enough so maybe it doesn't say anything, and that's also fine.
Right. He did an ocean cutaway.
Yeah, he did. I didn't even see that until just now.
Yeah.
It's so good. Wow. And it's so simple. Like, the thing is, like, I can look at this storytelling, and I could take any part of what Quitely does, and it would be really great. But you put them all together, and it's just insane. And at the same time, like, it never looks complicated. It's never busy. It's never you've tried to do too much here. But he is doing more than anybody. I'm being a little overpraising, but it really is that.
No,
that
I don't think that's right. I don't think you're being overpraising.
Yeah,
there's
a reason
why he's the artist. Well, everybody loves him.
Yeah.
You know, that's why pros love him.
I mean, there's a reason why we wait for him, and nobody complains. And honestly, there is such a old man statement coming up. We get everything we want in such quantity now. To have to wait for something that is special and then have that special thing deliver is great. You know, and you know, to fit to the other side, you know, the story, I really like that. I think Miller's doing a bunch of stories, and they're really good, you know, 4 issues, 6 issues, whatever. This is the one he's building a world with, though. And now we have a solid base under us, and I'm able to sort of put it all together and know who the different people are. So when there's the reveal at the end, you know, that guy's father, the Fox, something Fox, I forget.
Right.
I don't know anyone's names. This is not new. You know, I know what that means.
Right.
That's his father, and I know how that stands compared to everybody else. Also, the dude on the cover
is awesome.
It's awesome.
He's like some sort of Bruno Mars Lando. If like those two people had a kid,
and Little Richard, there's a lot of Little Richard there.
Yeah. Well, that's the Bruno Mars is aping Little Richards, but basically it's
I don't know that.
It's a wonderful look. The drop pants, the little cape, the white gloves,
and then so they get that character out of stasis or whatever he's in, and he's cool. He's really good at what he does, and they you know, like, it was a really fun. I like fight scenes that have tactics to them, and like this whole thing was sort of planned out where it looks like it's going to go one way, and at the end they say why it didn't, and they, you know, you sort of get what the risk was, and it just ends up all cool. It's an Ocean's 11 kind of thing almost. We're like, oh no, they're screwed now. Nope, they had it all along. If you do that right, that always makes me super happy.
Right.
And then there's a twist with the character at the end, where the British rocker, British washed up rocker look guy. You know, he basically turns on his uncle, you know, that's the monster he created.
Yeah, the monster's out of the box now.
Yeah. There's just a lot to love here. And also, I love that it's part of a whole.
I forgot he was the president, the British rocker guy.
Yeah.
They basically took over control. I forgot he was inserted into the press. My only problem with this book, it's not the book itself, is just that I have a hard time holding on to the threads, but every time I remember stuff, like, oh, right, that's what happened. Oh, right, okay, good. And then it's always
a lot
good.
Of that has to do with, you know, like, just the release schedule, and then I didn't go back and read it. I don't think it's
the release schedule, then, in between the volumes, there was another volume, which we loved. Oh, no, two volumes, actually. There was two volumes of the old series. So we had to wait a long time. And, I would love to reread it. I just don't know when that's going to happen. But.
Yeah. But I'm following. I don't feel like I'm.
But no, I'm following. Yes.
This shot of this ninja girl cutting up the dragon. Oh, it's just like all of it's almost his panels are like these. They're like it's almost like they're actual snapshots of like at a high shutter rate camera, you know, like a high speed camera.
Right.
Except, you know, when he wants to do it like that. And it's just I just keep flipping through it over and over again. And it's almost like he's not trying to be impressive, but he's so impressive because of that. And then when he needs to. You know, you get this shot of the spaceship in the jungle, you know, where he's gone fully out because there were no other real backgrounds going on before that. And then he can just blow you away there.
Or the My Little Pony.
Yeah, there's that.
Probably not in his style. It's more
that's
cartoony.
A crowd pleaser.
Yeah, but it's a very cartoony look.
Yeah.
It's not true. Really in his normal wheelhouse, which it looks good.
Yep. So, I really look forward to these issues more and more. Every one that comes out, I look forward to it more than the other one, and it delivered in sort of all the ways that I wanted it to. And, you know, even as I go through it now, I keep seeing other things. I'm like, oh, that's good. That's really, that's interesting. So that's why it's pick of the week on a week where there were other good books, too.
I love that you constantly are like, I don't want to read any more postmodern superhero takes, and then really super talented creators keep doing really good versions of them, and you have to keep you just keep reading them.
Those are gonna be the exception to the rule.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really good. And usually Mark Miller.
Yeah.
And he's got another book coming out with Greg Capullo in October, so keep that train going.
I was gonna ask what the premise is, and then I was like, I don't care.
I don't know.
I don't want to know. I don't need to.
I don't want
to
know.
Yep, that's fine. That's totally fine.
So it's better than high average, so it's fine.
Shall we do ratings?
Ratings. So we had one DC Rebirth book this week. If you're a new listener to the show, we'd like to rate the DC Rebirth books at a 1-5 scale on the PER system. Pick a comic, read a comic, rate a comic as a tribute to Mike and Tom Eat Snacks. So we had one book this week, Red Hood and the Outlaws, number one.
Good thing you mentioned it because
I mean,
that's the kind of thing that my eye is not even going to see.
Art by Dexter Soy. And so... before I even started reading it, I look at the cover and I see Red Hood and I see Bizarro and I see Artemis and I'm like, well, if there's a book that's tailor-made for me not to want to read, it's this one. So I was going into it very grudgingly, like, okay, I guess we're doing all these, so I got to read this one. But it turns out it's just basically a Jason Todd origin story, and I enjoyed it.
Who did that cover? That cover's great. That's if you got to draw Bizarro, that's a good Bizarro. Bengal.
Yeah, Bengal's awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I also would not have known that was Artemis. So yeah, it was, and which is what all these Rebirth issues are now that I'm realizing.
We talked about how there's no rhyme or reason to them. I mean,
yeah, but most of them seem to be a set the table, here's where we are. And we will start the story at number one.
Doesn't really do that, because it's not like Bizarro and Artemis aren't even in this book.
That's true. I don't know why they're there.
It's not even a...
Well, there's no outlaws.
Well, okay, you're not entirely wrong. It sets the table for Jason Todd going completely undercover as a bad guy, sanctioned by Batman. And I have apologized if I can't talk because I can't breathe through my nose today. But sanctioned by Batman to investigate this group. So that seems to be the premise that the book will take forward with Bizarro and Artemis. It's just that they're not in this issue at all.
So I don't know Jason's story after he's killed by the Joker. Like, I don't know when he came back or why, because I just never bothered to pay attention.
It's in here.
I know. That's
I know, but what they actually have in this issue is fairly close to what happened in the previous continuity.
I caught that. But regardless, so I'm saying, for me, this wasn't actually an also-ran. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, Lazarus Pit, of course, yeah. And... I didn't think it was that bad.
No, I enjoyed it.
I thought, at first, you know, like, their reversal worked on me.
Yeah.
It's like, why is any of this is stupid? Why is any of this happening? Why does he have a bat on his chest if he's going to do... Oh, okay. No matter how sophisticated the reader I am, you know, like, if I don't know what's going on, it's still going to work.
Keeps happening.
Yep. And I got to give them credit for that. And I think they set up, I think Lobdell very well set up who Jason Todd is, what his relationship to Batman was and is. mm-hmm. and why he is now, and I found it acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't come out of it going, well, that was stupid. I didn't feel like I wasted my time. I thought the Dexter Soy art, while not necessarily my favorite style, was really good. Told the story, did the job. And that was pretty well done, honestly.
I echo all those sentiments. Yeah. You know,
Where are you on the Jason Todd issue?
You know, it's like I don't like him. I don't. When I was a kid, I didn't like him. But he's here. He's not going anywhere. It's like Damian. There's something I can do about it.
I think
it's an interesting. He's an interesting counterpoint in that he's the bad Robin.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like, I think that even more than Damian, because Damian, I think, sometimes feels extra.
Yes. Oh,
Jason
totally.
Todd. You cannot like him, but appreciate his place.
Yeah, he's,
I see how he fits into that and the discomfort that it causes us, and that's the correct thing. It is value.
He's the ne'er-do-well son.
Yeah.
You know, he's the Keanu Reeves in Parenthood.
Whoa.
No, not Keanu Reeves, Tom Hulse.
Wow.
But
you going deep.
It was just on HBO the other day. But one thing that did bug me in this issue, and we're going to talk about it again in later in the show with Nightwing, is that the flashback costume that Robin that he gets as Robin is fairly close. It's like a hybrid of the original Robin costume and the Tim Drake suit. But I don't know why Jason Todd gets this, but Dick Grayson in his flashbacks gets that dumbass other one. I don't understand.
You're holding another book accountable?
I'm holding all the books accountable.
Yeah.
Although I guess the thing is that none of it really makes sense, and that's the point. Right? I mean, that's the whole point of Rebirth, right? Is that all their histories have been muddled and rewritten and it's wrong? Mm-hmm. Isn't that that's the premise, sort of?
I feel like that's Wonder Woman's premise.
Right. So yeah. So I'm trying to let it go until if I'm in charge of DC, you have till next year, and then you have an event, and then you set it all back to the old continuity. That's what I would do. But I'm not in charge of DC. Jeff Johns is. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens when they are saying they are going to have an event next year. So that related to Rebirth. So we'll see what happens after that. But right now, a lot of things aren't consistent. However, I enjoyed this. Let's give it ratings.
Ratings.
Give it a 3.5.
I also gave it a 3.5.
Stick with it?
Nope.
No.
That's very nice. Thank you very much. No, I'm good.
Yeah. If it was a Jason Todd book, I might give another issue. But
There's a little bit of. I feel like this is a little what just happened with Nightwing. And it's a little bit of like Batman. Like,
yeah, it's very similar. Very similar.
You know, well, why don't you? So just like Matches Malone then? I mean, So it's a little bit of an also-ran. Like, I thought this was well done. It was interesting to me. I'm good.
If it was just a Jason Todd book, I probably would read it. But Bizarro is one of the few characters I actually hate. So I can't read a book from him. I will say this. For all the talk, either last year or the year before, about Batman sitting or not being allowed to sit, in this issue he sits on the hood of his Batmobile eating sandwiches with Jason.
Was that a thing?
I remember a couple of years ago, there was a whole rumor going around that editorial said he wasn't allowed to be shown sitting.
I kind of remember that, yeah.
Which is dumb, because he's got a back computer with a chair in front of it. But anyway,
as soon as you say that, I just think of like Neil Adams drawn shots of him from a low angle, like with his legs crossed, studying something, and I love that. It's like the Vision in a cardigan. You need that.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the rating segment. Red Hood and the Outlaws, Rebirth number one. Yes, there you go. That's what happened. That happened this week. Let's move on to some other books.
My runner-up pick of the week was The Autumn Lands Tooth and Claw number 12.
Wow, double runner-up this week. We'll explain that later.
Ooh. Are you reading this?
I switched to trades on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was enjoying it, but it was like every month I had to sort of reset what everything was and who everybody was.
You know how in each issue, the first page spread, and then there's like a little text section that sort of explains the history of whatever?
Yes.
I don't read that.
Okay.
I find that annoying. the history of the world.
Do you, Josh?
I just want you to tell me the story in the thing. Mm-hmm. I got there's a lot of books to read, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And I keep skipping it, and I'm fine. Until the end, they're like, "No, that was in the text. You didn't read that?" No. So basically, what we have now is we have these three heroes: the dog guy, the goat guy, and the human guy. And they found this temple, and it's full of half naked statue lady slaves, basically. And there's this story about how they came to be and what they were for, and it's all about like their subjugation, and it's almost like a what happens if a sex bot becomes aware, but the sex bot who also does other really important jobs too, and it answers some of the mysteries about what's been going on with the magic. And that part was super interesting. I thought it was a really nice, not really a direct metaphor for society, but there were definitely things in there that were nice. And then the human hero guy, he has a turn where he just sort of goes, "This is wrong."
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked it. It's one of those, like, Kurt Busiek is totally into this. It's like, yeah, we're getting real. I mean, I don't think that guy's ever had a second act or needed a second act because he's never been any worse. But he's got a platform now that he hasn't had for a little while between this and Astro City to just do like his kind of really interesting, thoughtful, but also genre work. Ben Dewey and Jordi Belair. Did I say Ben Dewey? Is that right? Okay. There's also Ben Percy, so I always get those mixed up in my head. You know, he's doing all these great character designs and keeping things consistent. And luckily, because you know, the one is a dog and the one is a goat, right, everything's cool. Have you met the goat character yet?
In your
goings?
Oh, it's been a while since the last. It's on my shelf.
He has my favorite, like, goofy dialogue. Like, and then so there's like a big mystery thing that happens at the end, and I'm not sure what it was, but there's two turns that happen. It's really like a lot happened in this sort of issue, and it was.
It feels like it should be further along than 12.
Yeah. Well, I think there was. I think there's been some delays planned, probably because it's pretty intricate artwork. So maybe it's been I think it's been around longer than 12 months.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I think we've had two main set pieces, and if you put them in both six issues, then that kind of works.
Makes sense. I think I just got the latest trade. I haven't read it yet, though. So that would mean I've only read the first six.
It'll probably stop before this storyline.
Okay.
Is my guess. I really liked it, though, and I haven't checked in on it in a while. And it's, it's often an indie series is going along, and like there's the point where you're like, okay, we got to move to the next bit. And when they recognize that and do it right on time, it's impressive. And so it was time for this to happen. It was time for a change.
Awesome. I did enjoy it when I was reading it, I'm looking forward to reading more of it.
Good series.
So, Captain Marvel number 7, with the cover of Captain Marvel and Iron Man smashing each other under the Civil War II banner. I guess they are under it. What did you think of this?
So, I kind of want to talk about this and Civil War II number 4 at the same time a little bit.
Okay, sure.
But, I want this to also be clear. This is not reactive, and I know that things are not permanent, and I don't think that this is forever. They're ruining Captain Marvel. They're ruining Captain Marvel, a character who I have really come to like and appreciate since I can go back to Kurt Busiek when he did her as Warbird in Avengers.
Yeah,
she's a great, great character, and her reboot and retool with her new costume and design is one of the only ones that we weren't like, that's shit. Like, it's a great and appropriate, like, she looks good and it all fits, and she's got this interesting sort of human creep.
Although the dumbass hair that they ignore in this book, but they draw in the Civil War book, where she's got like the bouffant thing that was designed by Joe Quesada.
I'm looking at the Marco Fala art in Captain Marvel.
It's fine here. She's showing with regular short hair, but in Civil War, she's got the bouffant thing that they drew her with originally. Anyway, continue.
So in this book, specifically in her own book, I feel like the character that was started and isn't the same writers anymore. This is Ruth Fletcher and Christos Gage. Was it Ruth Fletcher before? It was two women whose names I didn't know, but who
no,
were
and before
them.
It was the showrunners of Agent right. Carter. Now it's Christos Gage and his wife Ruth okay. Fletcher Gage.
So there's been a change here that I really liked what was happening in the book before. I liked mm-hmm. the Alpha Flight. I liked every, and it was feel like they just got started and the fucking event stuff just sweeps it away again. Mm-hmm. Again, it's that same thing we keep talking about when they keep rebooting things, like just when you get going, switch it up, which is the opposite of what I just talked about in Autumn Lands. But so they're trying to toe a line with making her seem reasonable in this. And then you switch over to Civil War, and then something else also, and I think in Ms. Marvel, too, it's the same kind of thing where I was like, oh, yeah. She's awful in this.
No, I don't think there's any case to make that she's reasonable in any of these books.
I think that her own book comes the closest.
Right.
Basically, I'm trying to toe the line between liking her and agreeing with her.
Right.
And liking her and disagreeing with her, which I think is a valuable tool to have. But when you get over to Civil War II and Tony Stark is talking about her, it's she doesn't have a case. Like, you can understand
he debunks Ulysses' power and that it's not actually seeing the future, and he's actually affecting the visions, and he lays his case out to, like, the high command of superheroes, mm-hmm. Captain America and Doctor Strange and Hank McCoy and all this, and all the high level people and Black Bolt, and she's like, whatever.
And then let's fight. And I just thought like, it's making her the bad guy even more than Tony Stark was the bad guy in the other one.
I don't know if that's accurate. I mean, okay. they locked up other heroes in the other book.
Yeah.
In the Civil War. But I'm not disagreeing. She's the bad guy. She's totally the bad guy.
And I hate that.
Yeah.
Because I really don't want her to be. I want her. Go ahead.
No, you tell me if you want.
I want her to be, like, she's got such potential to be, you know, in one of the Avengers movies, and this doesn't really preclude that, but, like, I don't want to watch this story with her. Except I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I totally was like, I got to read that. And also, I want to point out, like, I like the art in Captain Marvel, and I think did David Marquez's.
I really liked Civil War a lot. I mean, we talked about it last time, how we've been enjoying it.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, and I still enjoyed this issue, even .
Yeah.
She's the villain, fine, but as a story, I really like it, and absolutely. They're finally getting to the conflict portion of it. This Captain Marvel issue, Captain Marvel 7, there was a really awkward shoehorning of the Inhumans into the X-Men role here, where Medusa is complaining about how the Inhumans have been discriminated against and feared by the populace, and that's why they left. And I was like, well, now they're using the exact lines the X-Men use.
Yeah.
It's not even,
that's not a surprise.
But it's like, this didn't happen. We've read those books.
Yeah.
They weren't treated like that.
They weren't known about.
You're lying now. This is not how it happened. The Inhumans didn't leave because of prejudice and fear. That's what the X-Men did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even a big X-Men guy. Just annoying. But,
directly modifying that history to rework it, which, I don't know, that doesn't seem like it's off limits. Because that's where they're going now.
We were all there for that. It's like when they tried to make us believe the Sentry had always been around as an Avenger.
He is a great character, though, in Lego Avengers on the Xbox.
Does he cry?
No, he should. He does everything, though. He's got flame. He can fly. He can move things with his mind. He's great.
Now, I would say ultimately what they're doing to their character sucks, but I'm enjoying reading these books.
Yes. I will agree with that. So,
this is still a good book, despite the fact that the last two issues have been mostly her talking to a bunch of floating dignitaries. And Civil War 2-4 was fun. So I'm enjoying.
I pretty much like what Civil War 2 is doing in its own book, and I hate what it's doing in all the other books.
I like Ms. Marvel this week.
Hate might not be right. The thing about Ms. Marvel that week was that it really took it to Captain Marvel, and it made me be like, why is she even with, I mean, like clearly she shouldn't be doing this. And then at the end of Civil War 2, she wasn't.
Yeah, no, she's done.
Yeah. which I liked, but it's, you know, like, there's such a nice, I don't know, I want everyone to be friends.
Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, number one. We just had the Rebirth issue. Was it last week or the week before?
They're not wasting time.
No. I've said for years I just want Hal Jordan Space Cop, and I have to put up with the Sinestro Corps, but I'm getting Hal Jordan Space Cop, and I actually like what's happening with the Sinestro. I really like this issue. Robert Venditti wrote it. Rafa Sandoval was the artist. And
he's doing he's doing a Van Sciver there.
A little bit. And I haven't read really a Green Lantern book in forever, so it's taken me a while to figure out what's going on. But the idea that the Sinestro Corps is now the core that in the place of the Owens and the Guardians, and that fear rules the galaxy, and something had happened, and the rest of the Green Lanterns have been banished, but they came back at the end of the... I like everything that's happening here. I'm into it. I'm into all of it. I'm happy to see Hal Jordan. I'm happy to see he's a recognizable Hal Jordan to me. Uh-huh. I haven't really followed him because he hasn't been in the Justice League yet. I haven't really seen him in a comic in forever. So I was very excited to see him busting heads, for lack of a better term. I liked it. I really liked this a lot. I was very happy with it.
I like that Kevin Nolan illustration on the
it's a great cover. Kevin Nolan cover.
I was like, who is that? Oh, Kevin Nolan. Look at that.
I mean, it's just Hal Jordan standing there, but he's awesome. Or floating there.
I want Sinestro to be a little more goofy looking again.
Well, he kind of is at the end, right? I mean, he's wearing the parallax outfit that Hal wore when he was evil.
I just mean
Giant shoulder things.
I just mean his big silly head, like the leader. I think that was one of those classic, like, that kind of villain head.
Did he ever have a big head?
Yeah, he was like, maybe not. Maybe in my mind I was just...
I don't think he ever had a big head.
Maybe not. I have to look. Maybe I'm making that up.
Yeah.
I think some of the artists made it look like they were going for that kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe I'm just mixing him up with the leader.
I like the... Well, same skin tone. I like that you're a racist. I like the idea that...
Red. I'm a red racist. Not that kind.
Just against pink-skinned people. People with sunburns. Josh hates them. I like the idea that there's a price to be paid for Sinestro, that he's using the yellow power from Parallax, you know, has aged him, and he has to siphon it off to become young again, every so often. And I thought there's a cost to what he's doing.
Yes, Gil Kane did him with a big silly head.
A big silly head?
Yeah, like a large forehead and a pointy chin.
Okay.
I think that it got shrunk over the years, and then when Van Sciver did Rebirth, actually, as it was, it became a little more Hitler-y. But he had sort of a longer than normal head.
That could be.
Yeah. I want that back.
Okay. Write a letter.
It's just that element of goofiness. Like they're sucking all the goofiness out. But I didn't read it.
I don't know that they're sucking all the goofiness out. He's got his outfit is completely goofy.
Yeah.
But I like this a lot. This is what I want from Green Lantern, so I'm happy.
Well, there you go.
Take a quick break to tell you how to support iFanboy. Go to iFanboy.com/support. That's where you can find our Amazon link. And you can shop via Amazon. Anything you purchase, we get a little piece of the action. Does come out of your pocket, comes out of Amazon's pockets. And we thank everyone who does that. You make it your desktop shortcut to Amazon. Even better, you don't have to worry about it ever again. Also, we launched our Patreon last week, patreon.com/iFanboy. This response has been overwhelming. And we thank everyone who's joined up there. We hit our second goal within about 24 hours of launching, which was crazy, which you weren't expecting. In fact, caught us a little unawares. So we had two goals to start. We hit you pick a book goal was reached in minutes. So basically, if you're a patron and you get to vote every week on what book we talk about in the show, we're going to talk about that book. The first patron picked book later at the end of the week, at the end of the comic section. And then we hit our second goal, which was the return of the Splode shows. So Talksplode and Booksplode are coming back as a monthly show. Not this month because we have to start producing them, but we'll probably start bringing them back in August. So once a month, you can look forward to either a Talksplode or a Booksplode. Talksplode, if you don't know, is our interview show. And Booksplode is a show where we take a look at a trade paperback or collected edition book. And it's been about half an hour talking about that. So those are the goals we reached. The next goal is $1,000, and that's we'll have a monthly Google Hangout Q&A chat only for the patrons, and we're about 3/4 of the way to that goal already. So that's pretty crazy. So thank you to everyone who joined up. Also, one of the rewards is that we're going to thank a patron on every show, much like if you listen to Goodfellas Minute, we thanked the patrons in that show. We're going to start doing that soon, only because we haven't figured out what jokey way we're going to thank you. We can't agree on it.
Because
so.
We don't think that you want us to sit here and read 90 names in a row.
No.
So.
We'd like to have a little
that's
fun with it.
That's kind of funny. I think around 40, it starts to get funny.
Yeah. We want to have a little fun with it. We're trying to figure out the best way to do that. So we'll be adding that into the show soon. So you look forward to all these things happening soon. Go to patreon.com/ifanboy and check out if you haven't yet. You can find all kinds of rewards there. We're going to bring back stickers and buttons. All the fun stuff is happening over at patreon.com/ifanboy. We thank everyone who supports us in any way.
Connor, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When did all this happen? Who did this?
Patreon?
Yeah. Did you guys... I'm just kidding.
We did it. I knew. You were not paying attention to the Slack channel.
I see.
And we just said, screw it.
I was just, just waiting for political-themed GIFs. That's all I wanted.
Nightwing number one from Tim Seeley and Javier Fernandez. I really like this. This is probably my pick of the week.
Really?
Yeah, I love the personality that Tim Seeley has in Nightwing. It's slightly different.
I know why you liked this the best.
It's slightly different than the one in Grayson when he was co-writing it with Tom King. This is a little more unfiltered Tim Seeley.
You take that top of the bridge scene with Barbara out of this, and this does not get that rating for you.
Possibly.
Oh, I think.
But I did like the rest. I mean, I did like the rest of it. But yes, that was the best.
It's also this. It's the same thing. He's basically going undercover.
Well, that's the thing. It was very similar to Grayson and to Red Hood in that he's going back undercover. And we're going to talk about Batgirl next, and it's similar there as well.
We need to point out Javier Fernandez really did wonderful work on this thing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Really great.
So Dick is working for the Parliament of Owls, which is the international version of the Court of Owls, and they've got him under their thumb doing jobs for them all over the world, and that's the premise of this book so far. And again, we see Dick, hanging out in the Batcave with Bruce while he's training Damian. He looks over at the case with his old suit in it. It's got a yellow cape, even though in the flashbacks he's wearing a black cape. It doesn't make nothing makes any sense anymore, Josh.
I don't even notice that stuff.
I noticed it right away.
Uh-huh.
I started noticing it years ago when I realized that all the newer artists didn't know how to draw the original costume. This is back before the New 52 even happened. Mm-hmm. And they would always get the colors wrong. It would just be wrong. Doesn't anyone give them like a style guide?
Well, there's so much information available now.
But I like this a lot. Javier Fernandez's art was great.
Yeah.
And Tim Seeley, we talked about it before with Read the Rebirth book and Write a Comic.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's funny. I like his sort of... The thing about Dick Grayson was he was always the laughing daredevil. That was kind of his descriptor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always been like that. But this is more... He's like not Spider-Man, but he's joking. And he always made bad puns. He always had bad jokes. And this is sort of back to that.
I was reading I forget what it was, but it was Miles Morales was in it. He made some joke, and I just thought, that's a Peter Parker joke. It's not a Miles Morales joke. A kid would never say that.
Was it Nightwing?
No, it just reminded me of the joke.
I feel like I would have noticed if it had been Nightwing.
It was, yeah, no, Miles Morales did not appear in Nightwing this week.
I did love the scene on the bridge. Well, I'll just be honest.
I know.
Right,
there was an awkwardness to it.
Everyone's aware. He goes out to meet Barbara. He thinks it's a date. She's been in nice clothes. She's there in a costume. He's like, oh, it's not. And they have an awkward. Is this a date? Should I change? Should you change? What's happening? And that was a great.
I don't think she was wrong there, given the location.
No, we're really at top of the bridge. But let's talk about Batgirl number one. Did you read Batgirl number one from Hope Larson?
I didn't. I was impressed by the team when I noticed who it was, though, after the fact.
Yeah, so it's funny. I don't know what's up in the Bat offices, but so the story here is she's left Burnside, where she had been in her last series, and she's traveling the world. And So in this issue, she's off in Japan, and in Nightwing, he's in Moscow. It's like they just sent all the Bat Kids out of town, and that's what they're doing now. But here it's very much sort of like young girl backpacking, who's also Batgirl, so she gets into misadventures, and she runs into an old friend in a hostel, and ends up meeting a 100-year-old Chinese superhero. You know, this old woman who was a superhero in 1939, which is a callback to Batman. And the Albuquerque art's, you know, wonderful. Hope Larson writes a great Batgirl, Barbara Gordon. I really like this a lot, too. I'm really happy about where these two books are right now. And if you take them together with Detective, which came out this week, which I really enjoyed, and Batman's been solid. I think right now the Batman books are pretty good.
Yeah, there's more good books to choose from than there have been in a while.
Yeah, but this was I think check it out. Hope Larson is not someone who writes superhero comics.
Yeah,
and you would never know from reading this.
Cool.
She's just a good writer, so that doesn't, you know, that's not surprising. But
so, are you aware that Jason Aaron won an Eisner?
I think he won like all of them.
Yeah, yeah, but for some reason you still aren't reading The Mighty Thor.
No, I just don't. I want to read about Thor.
It's good. It's a good Thor story.
I'm sure it's very good.
No, you're blowing it.
I'm fine. I want to read Thor.
You're blowing it. Just on a craft level. If I'm only doing that. Sure. Point being, I had a revelation. Not a revelation. Maybe it's something we even talked about before. But it occurred to me, one of the reasons that Jason Aaron is so interesting as a good writer is that he does not, when you read one of his books, you don't go, oh, this is Jason Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
He is able to shift his voice to be appropriate to the story. You know, Bendis can't do that.
Yes. Although I feel like I can kind of pick out Jason Aaron book. I do agree he does shift very well.
But just if you compare the different thing, he's been with Thor for a long time, and he's got his Thor down, his Asgardian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's perfect for Thor.
I mean, basically what this book has, I know that it doesn't have the Odin son in it so much, but it does have a lot of sort of interesting Asgardian politics and intrigue and stuff, which is really interesting. There's the first scene in this is wonderful, and it's basically, it's Loki like over Freya's deathbed. And basically he's being completely sincere and honest, and he's like, this shouldn't have happened. I'm gonna make sure that this is and he goes, and for once in my life I'm not lying. And just the combination of writing and art, the way that it was acted and portrayed, it was a great scene, because you really don't usually get that with him. There's always a trick behind them, but in this instance there wasn't. And also I think Russell Dodderman's like next level.
He's awesome.
Next level. Black Panther number 4. Can I stop now?
I thought this was the best issue.
Maybe.
But I still have a hard time with it. I like the idea that the Black Panther has been so busy being the Black Panther that he has neglected his people, and then now there's a revolution.
Sure.
That's a very interesting idea.
It is.
It's just the execution is very difficult.
I'm so bored.
You can stop.
I'm going to. I don't want to. I don't want to be that guy, but like, I'm not getting anything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I can recognize all those things, but it doesn't make me feel the feel at the end of the day.
If you're not enjoying it, you shouldn't read it. I find it interesting. That's a sort of enjoyment. I'm going to stick it up for the first arc. I don't know that Stealth Reese is staying on beyond the first arc. I think I saw a solicitation that had a new artist on it. I'm not, that could be wrong about that.
Is Coates going to be on it, or is it just a 6-issue thing?
I don't know. I think he's sticking on it, but I think Stelfreeze is not, which would not be surprising because he doesn't really do monthly work. But I'm going to stick out the first 6 because I do find what's happening interesting in the abstract. It's just the specifics are very hard to follow.
I just find myself drifting as I read it.
Right, so I totally get it. If this hadn't been this issue, I would have been where you are. I just thought this was the most engaging one.
Okay.
But that's just me. But I on the whole, I mean, it's still hard. I still don't know who anybody is or, you know.
What they want. Who have to relate to each other. Who gives a shit.
So The Flash, number 3. Before I read Nightwing was probably my pick of the week. Are you still reading this?
Carmine Di Giannomenico.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I am.
He is awesome. And what I love about this book is the joy in it. They're really taking that from the TV show. So in this story, there's been a Speed Force storm, which is interesting, and all these people in Central City now have speed powers, and some of them are turning to crime, some are want to be superheroes, and some are just hiding, terrified in their houses. And I love that aspect of it. And then, you know, Barry running around being Flash mentors. There's a scene where he runs off with that Star Labs doctor. And there's just so much joy in that panel of let's just run fast, try to keep up. And it's like Domenico's art's great because he's all hard angles and rough lines.
That shot, though, of them as they take off, and it's a low angle, like a wide angle camera shot almost, or the ground is sort of curved and they're down low looking at him running by. I was like, that's great. Like that was the perfect way to do that.
And you just you know, in an age where to be serious, you have to be dark, you know, this particular Flash story is just fun.
I feel like one of the other elements to it here that's going on, I think the art is great. We keep saying over and over, like, DC's, I mean, whoever was making art picks compared to who is making art picks now, it's almost 180 degrees. So they've definitely got that much more well in hand. Josh Williamson's a guy he's been kicking around comics in a while, for a long time. Guy loves superheroes. Mm-hmm. Loves The Flash. And finally, like, I think after having some really good successes at Image, when you see what he's doing with Birthright and Nailbiter and other things, like, they gave him a big book with a character that he loves. And he's going, I mean, basically, I'm punning, he's running with it.
Yeah, no, he totally is.
But, like, he's, like, we used to say this about Geoff Johns, is that, like, he loves the characters and he appreciates them and has been around them for a long time. Like, if you were to just talk to Josh like a fan, you'd be like, you know, Mark Waid's run on Flash, be like, oh, it's great because of this, this, and this. You know, Geoff Johns is run. Like, he knows that he loves it and he appreciates that stuff. And that's the kind of comic, that's the person that you're getting that filtered through. But also, it's a guy who has chops.
Yeah.
Because he's not new. You know, I've known him for probably a decade now.
It's a really well done comic that is full of joy and fun, but it's not, you know, not goofy at all.
Yeah.
And looks wonderful. This is a really great superhero comic.
It's the right tone, which is elusive, it turns out.
Yeah. This is a great superhero comic. Yep. This is one of the best being made right now. So I was really happy with it. If not for the bridge scene, didn't have a bridge scene.
Someday, I'm going to write a story. I'm not going to tell you, but...
Anyway. It's cool. The idea is interesting. That now there's all these speeches running around. How the hell do you deal with that?
I'll tell you one thing, though. I don't want this to be the new status quo. I want this to
I would be surprised if it was.
Yeah.
It would be really untenable if there was 100 speedsters in Central City.
Well, there's a shitload of Green Lantern Corps, and they haven't gone anywhere.
Maybe you can shunt them off into space.
Go that way. But won't we? No, just keep running.
So those are the books we wanted to talk about this week, but we have an exciting new feature. It's the Patron's Choice feature, and as I said earlier, if you're a patron at patreon.com/ifanboy and you give it a certain level, you get to vote every week on a book we get to talk about in the show, and the book with the most votes gets on the show. And we had no idea what you would pick. There was lots of votes, lots of interesting votes. The runner-up, as I mentioned earlier, was The Autumnlands, so that was interesting. Didn't expect that to be the runner-up, but we would have talked about it anyway, but that there you go. I love that you picked a book that we would never have talked about. That's kind of what I was hoping for when we came up with the idea for this feature. And The Choice, which beat Autobahns by only one vote. So that's why your vote's important if you want to vote. It was ROM number one from IDW, written by Christos Gage with Chris Ryle, with art by David Messina. ROM, the Space Knight, Josh.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, ROM is a Hasbro IP, and most people probably know him from his Marvel comics in the 80s. He was Ron the Space Knight in the Marvel universe, and then the rights for Ron, you can write a book about. Our old columnist Jimsky was obsessed with Ron. He used to always write about him. I think Marvel did a character called the Space Knight that looked a lot like Ron after they lost the rights. I don't know. It's been a very long
Space Knight, I think.
Yeah, a very long and arduous road for Rom, the Space Knight. But here he is, back with a new series produced by Hasbro in addition with IDW. And so, first of all, there was a million covers.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're reading digitally, I think I spent 5 minutes scrolling through covers to get to the actual story.
It's a third of the file.
What was interesting about it was, and I think you know what I'm gonna end up focusing on.
But, I think I do.
But it drops you right in, and I did appreciate that. In that, it didn't really spoon feed you what was going on. You know, it gives you a little setup in the beginning, explaining what the ROM is. What the Space Knights are and who they're fighting. And then it just drops you in the middle of the story of Rom coming to Earth, finding this town in the middle of California that's mostly these aliens pretending to be humans, and he's out there just destroying them. And people don't realize that they are really alien shapeshifters, so they think this Rom character has come to kill people, and there's a lot of confusion and that kind of thing. I didn't really enjoy it, but I appreciated the way it was told, if that makes sense.
I don't know who this is for, but it wasn't for me. I know that there are people that this is for, and it's a thing. Like, I have no, other than literally Jimsky talking about Rom and like two or three other iFanboy listeners who I have known for years, who will bring him up occasionally. Like, I have no history with it, and I was reading it like, oh, I don't want to be reading this. And I finished it, I will say, I was surprised at the end, but then I was like, I don't really like that, though.
Let me explain. So, I also should have explained. So, the issue opens up with a little 11-page story. This is like a super big issue. The 11-pager, I think, was the free comic book day story. So, in the middle of it, we have 11 pages. Boom, we're hit with a title page again. And I was like, well, that's weird. Why did they throw a title page in the middle of the story? And then it starts again. That's what it was. The prelude, where he goes to the beach and kills those aliens. That was all the free comic book day story, and then they start with the actual story after that. But the big news is that so the government knows that there's this Rom Space Knight on Earth killing people, and so they call in some special operatives to take Rom down, and the reveal in the final page is the special operatives to take Rom down are G.I. Joe. So Scarlet and I'm scrolling as fast as I can. Scarlet and Roadblock. Although he's not allowed to be called Roadblock anymore, I think.
That's ridiculous. And, I boycott that.
And that's it. Scarlet and Roadblock, right?
Yep.
Roadblock. Am I crazy?
I mean, he's whatever. He's got a new name now.
Right.
It's like not the same guy, but it is.
I was like, whoa! I think I literally said that on the couch when I was reading it. Do you remember? Like 5 years ago, they had that crossover. It was Ghostbusters and G.I. Joe and whatever. And I said, I'll read it. And as long as there's a scene with Peter Venkman and Snake Eyes, I'll be fine. And it never actually interacted. It was like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers, G.I. Joe, and Ghostbusters. Well, now they're doing that again with all their properties, but they're actually going to interact all the characters. So it's Rom, Transformers, Mask, and G.I. Joe.
And I'll be honest, like I said, I'm not sure who this is for, but it's not for me.
Micronauts, it's Transformers, G.I. Joe, Micronauts, Mask, and I guess Rom as well. And, you know, you're hitting me where I live with those characters, so I might read the crossover called Revolution, which is coming up.
Whereas I'm a little like, oh, this is the downfall of our generation.
This is everything I want. If they had Ghostbusters in there, it'd be perfect.
All right. I guess.
Listen, I didn't. Up until the very last page, I was not enjoying it. So take it for what you will. But I appreciate it. I like that they picked a book like this. I like that they took us out of our comfort zone. That's
just
the whole
saying,
point.
Do better next time, people.
It was almost Autumnlands.
Yeah. You know what? I will tell you quite honestly that the fact that people that was getting attention made me, you know, like sort of look at it a little harder, or at least anticipate it, I guess, before I was reading. And I was like, okay, I got to make sure to pay attention to this so that if there's something to talk about, we will either way. So
my thing with this feature is make us read something we don't read. That's, you know, maybe we'll discover something. You never know. We've been led to good books before by the audience, so maybe this will happen again. It just wasn't Rom. Right?
Yeah, it wasn't. Right. But it's okay. I'm not mad.
Oh, no, it was fun. I listen.
I would never have known
G.I. Joe would have shown up in Rom if I hadn't read this issue, so thank you.
Sometimes people expect me to not like something.
We have time, I think, for one email, Josh. Which one should we do?
Let's do the first one.
John from Wakefield, England. Yes. I barely thought about this question at all, which kind of caters for how bloody obvious it is. Is that a word? Caters?
Yeah.
Huh. Let me start again. I barely thought about this question at all, which kind of caters for how bloody obvious it is. That being said, what is your favorite comic at the moment? Specifically, which book are you most excited to read when a new issue comes out? Mine has to be Lazarus, and you guys are to blame for incessantly recommending it. Well done.
This is a hard question. And before I had said, I had sort of intimated to Jupiter's Circle. Jupiter's Legacy, whichever.
Legacy.
But there are others.
Well, I mean, do you break it down as if you could only read one book, what would it be?
Well, I mean, I think the thing to recognize is that it is somewhat fluid.
That's true.
Like in a given month, it could change. But you know, if a storyline and or a creative team is really hitting it, then you know, you could make a case for. In a way, I could almost make a case for the Darth Vader book. I don't think it's the best book. Wow. I don't think it's my favorite book, but I do get excited when it comes out. I can make a case for. I'm really enjoying the Superman story that's going on right now.
In action or in Superman?
Isn't it kind of the same? Like, there's a mystery going on, and I don't know the answer.
Right, okay.
And it's sort of going through all the books. I'm not saying that's probably not my number one, but, like, you could make a case for it. There would be something there for it. If Southern Bastards comes out 1 week, or Black Science.
Right. It's hard.
I don't know that I could nail it down. I think this week, Jupiter's Legacy was definitely the one. I don't know. Like, where are you with this?
My favorite book is called Dick and Barbara on a Bridge. But that comes out very infrequently. It's hard. If you told me I could read one book, it would obviously be Batman.
That's not quite the question. I mean, like, but
right.
Like,
that's what I mean. There's only been three issues, and it's very good. Is it my favorite? Is it the best? I don't know if it is. Flash might be edging it out at the moment, but it's still, you know, it's in my top five Batman, but I don't know if I'd make it my number one at this very moment of time.
It could be like, you know, Saga or, you know, like
Southern Bastards. It's hard. If you put a gun to my head and said you could read only one comic, it's obviously going to be Batman, but if you put a gun to my head and say, which is the best comic you read? Because favorite doesn't mean best. We say this all the time with the pick, you know, favorite can mean many different things. And so favorite is Batman. That's my favorite comic. But if you're talking about what is the best comic, I don't know. There's a lot of good comics right now. We're in a bit of a renaissance.
It feels good right now. There's a lot. There's too many comics now, but there's.
Did you say Rom?
I didn't say Rom. That's not my answer to this.
You say Rom? Okay.
It's Rom.
I can make sure for Batman and Iron Fist. Like it does. There's a lot of really great stuff right now.
Yeah. I'm going with the Jupiter books because that's been consistent through the last.
Or the Vision
miniseries. The Vision. That was the other one. That's probably the Marvel one. But that's I know that's ending soon too.
It's still coming out. You still got 3 more months with it.
Yeah. I mean, and again, not that I don't like Sheriff of Babylon, but that one makes me feel bad. do you know what I look forward to, and I didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but what's strangely up there? I really like the new Lucifer book.
Wow.
I've really been enjoying it.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it's great. Do you guys want to know about Hellblazer?
Should I mention it? Yeah, real quick.
I liked it.
Oh, good. Ratings.
I liked it 3.5.
And sticking with it?
Yes. It was it sounded like John.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like John, but still existing in this world, so it was a little less rough edge, but it wasn't as sort of smooth as they got it. So I was kind of, if I just pretended it was Vertigo, it was okay.
Well, that's good.
It'll be interesting to see what they do.
There's a Hellblazer book that you're enjoying.
Yeah. It's called Hellblazer. That helps.
It's called The Hellblazer.
Whatever. That's fine. I'm not going to nitpick.
So, John, we gave you a lot of different answers because it's hard to pick your favorite.
And it's our show, so we don't have to do it.
Right.
Actually, I did do it. Miller.
Rom. I think you picked Rom.
Okay, Rom. I mean, I just didn't want to admit it, but you think you've got me.
So if you have any questions or comments you want to get on the conversation, you want to stump us with your favorite book question, you can email us at contact@fanboy.com. Don't forget to tell us who you are, where you're from, and how long you've been thinking about your question. You can also send us a sound file if you want to do that. Somebody sent us one recently, so it's a good way to do it also. Real quick, we've got a bunch of shows coming up. So we just released Star Trek Beyond, our special edition show about that, where Ron and Mike Romo and I talked about the new Star Trek movie for about 45 minutes. It's just a super fun movie, super fun podcast. We get super nerdy on a lot of you got Mike's a huge Trekkie. Ron and I are like medium Trekkies, and so we got a little nerdy on it. But it was a fun time. We have two shows coming out next week. Suicide Squad comes out, so there will be a show on that. And you can look forward to that soon. And then The Killing Joke also comes out this week, the next DC Universe animated original film. However, due to scheduling conflicts amongst the animated brain trust, that show won't actually come out at the end of August. So you're going to have to wait 3 to 4 weeks for that one, probably 4 weeks. So I apologize, but that could not be helped. But, you know, it'll come out. Everyone always asks, are you going to do this one? We always do this one. So until we tell you we're not doing it, you can assume we're going to do it. And it's just not going to come out exactly now. I apologize. It's mostly my fault. But
man needs a break. What do you want?
I'm in charge, so I get to push it off.
And you don't want to miss that one.
No.
For good or ill.
Exactly.
You could also, if you can't get enough and you haven't gone to listen to Goodfellas Minute, go over to goodfellasminute.com and you can listen to us talk about Goodfellas one episode, 1 minute at a time. So there's a lot of those.
I just got an email today, in fact, from someone who started listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
This morning we got an email from it. An iFanboy listener who has been listening to it. I'm happy they're listening to it.
Yeah, I think it's good work.
I miss it. A little bit.
I was like, yeah, but not that much.
I miss many aspects of it. I don't miss all the aspects of it.
Talking to you guys was fun.
No, the talking part was great.
Yeah.
Everything else was tough. Head over to iFanboy.com, comment on this show, talk about this week's books. You can find all of our podcasts. The Star Trek show is there. Other special edition shows we've done are there. You can find them all over there at iFanboy.com. You can follow us at iFanboy.com/iFanboy. And at iFanboy on Twitter, that's where you can find out what the pick is. Before the show comes out, you can follow us individually at Jay Flanagan, at CS Kilpatrick, and at Ron XO.
You can also, if you like the show, you could rate it.
Ratings.
In iTunes?
Yeah.
Or write a review. Or I will go ahead and extend this, do this to all the shows you like. Because mm-hmm. it helps people to discover them, and if more people listen to them, they probably will keep doing it for longer. There's an insider tip. Yeah. Better yet, use your social media presence to talk about the things that you like and show them love and respect. You should do that.
Let's spread some love around.
That's what I'm saying. That's fine. Right. That's going to do.
We survived. Hopefully, Ron will be back next week. We can plumb the depths of his despair having sold his comics. That'll be a fun conversation. He's taking it harder than I am. That I did.
I'm looking at a stack of long boxes right now out of the corner of my eye going, ugh, make them be somewhere else. Like, I don't want to just give them away. And I don't want to throw them away, but I don't know. I can't deal with anything.
You should rent a plane and just distribute them from the air.
Already we're in the Michigan bottle return area. That trip's a loss. There's no way it works.
Right. All right. Well, until next time.
And like it's one of those things, like if somebody said, your comics were all stolen, I'd be like, oh, thank God.
Well, all right. Until next time, I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. Bye.
Why the listening shadowing?
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ifanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ifanboy.